The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Meyer.
Good morning. Day before Election Day. Release the counting of the day. Release the day we think they're going to count a day. Who knows? Who knows? And by the way, there was some rumor going out on social media. I don't know who put it out there. It was talking about elections being delayed and stuff. No, nothing's been delayed. And be really careful. Be smart about the stuff that you see and hear or share on social media right now, because yeah, there's just a lot of BS. Just really is. What's going to happen tomorrow? Who's going to be elected? I know who I'd like to see elected. You know, as far as president, naturally, you know, President Trump. Do I know what's going to happen? No. Does anybody really know what's going to happen? No. We can have reasonable theories. And I'm also happy to take your theory. This is like Conspiracy Election Theory Monday. I'll take your call on that if you have anything in mind. What do you think is going to happen? Enough about what I think is going to happen, or what Hannity thinks is going to happen, or what Nikki Haley thinks is going to happen, or what whoever it is, all of the highly paid talking head types. You know, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? 770-5633. I'm just going to leave it open for you. What do you, the person not highly paid to be a media mogul of some sort on Fox News or whatever it is, what do you think? We can kick this around. One thing I do find interesting over the weekend is that you found out that the Democrats are more and more talking about what they really think about us. You know, you had John Fetterman when talking about LGBTQ, and supposedly if you're not promoting the LGBTQ agenda, well, then you're picking on LGBTQ kids, and you're just a bunch of a-holes. Okay. And then we had, Kathy Hochul, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, labeling Republicans anti-American. Governor Kathy Hochul did not mince words when describing how she feels about the New Yorkers voting for her political opponents. Hochul appeared on MSNBC Saturday, talking about the former president, Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden campaign rally. Her pronouncement immediately drawing outrage from New York Republicans. First, they call us deplorables. Then they call us Nazis. Then Joe Biden calls us garbage. Then no strong, intelligent women support Trump. Now Kamala Harris's top surrogate, Kathy Hochul, the worst and most unpopular governor in America, this side of Tina Kotek, by the way, calls voters anti-women and even anti-American if they support Republican candidates. And you have Fetterman that says we're a bunch of Adam Henrys. Well, yeah, at least we got this settled. You know, with all this stuff between the Fettermans and the garbage people and the a-holes and the anti-Americans and the anti-women's and the Nazis and everything else, could we finally get some Republicans in the state of Oregon in the state legislature who will stop reaching across the aisle and thinking that their job is to be there and go along and get along? And because those Democrats just like us just as much as they like their Democrat people, they're just, you know, they just have a different point of view on things. And it's my job as a Republican legislator to be there and pass Democrat legislation. Maybe the rhinos that are festooned throughout the agenda base, and they're not really rhinos, they're agenda-based Republicans in the state legislature, many of them. The agenda-based Republicans, maybe this will finally prove that, no, they hate you. Shouldn't bang the counter that loudly. I think it makes everything echo. But anyway, see, that was the only good thing I thought over the weekend of all the bad news of everybody calling Republican nasty names, because I'm thinking, well, finally, maybe the Republicans, you know, the ones that say, well, I just have to reach across the aisle and pass Democrat legislation to be a good person. You're not dealing with necessarily all that great people. Think of look at what they call you. Anyway, what do you think's going to happen? Enough about me. What about you? Let me go to line one. Just having fun here. Day before election, we have to have a little humor on something. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, this is Randy.
Randy, How the heck are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Now, you're in Ashland, aren't you, if I recall?
I am in Ashland.
Okay, yes, very good.
The People's Republic.
All right. Well, thank you for calling from behind enemy lines.
So last night on the news, they reported, and I haven't heard it since, that they are fortifying the vice president's home, which is, I think, on a Navy base or something. And they're building walls. But, you know, walls don't work. Anyway, they're fortifying.
Well, she's changed her mind now. Before, yeah, she said, you know, walls don't work. Yeah, you're right.
She has a mind. That's news.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
I'm being charitable. So, okay, give me, you know, I haven't had all my coffee kick in yet, Randy. Help me out here, okay?
Okay, so then the kicker is, I was listening to Coast last night, and they had Brian Artis, who has a book out, and he's dug up all the dirt on the COVID vaccine.
Oh, is that Dr. Brian Artis, that guy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him.
Okay, and anyway, he's got a book out. And you can't buy it. They show you the cover on Amazon, but you click add to cart and nothing happens. And then the little thing, here are your buying options. And it's everybody else's book with a similar title, but you can't get his. This might as well be Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Everything, my instincts were dead on. Remdesivir is a death sentence. The ventilators were a death sentence. And so the sacrificial lamb is this guy in New York that they're trying to prosecute for sending all the people back to the old folks' home. And that, you know, they're going to hang him out to dry and make him the scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to do everything they can to steal this election. And that's why they're fortifying Washington, D.C., because they're expecting trouble.
They're also expecting trouble in Portland, too. OSP, various other troops being put on notice. Washington National Guard's going to be standing by. And something tells me, though, that they're not expecting trouble because they think that Kamala Harris is winning. I don't think that's what they're thinking.
Well, either way, there's going to be trouble. If
you think
she
so?
Wins, our side's going to go ballistic. And if Trump wins, you know that it's going to be meltdown on the university campuses.
You know, if Kamala Harris wins, honestly, you think our side goes nuts? Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
The reason I bring this up is that let's be honest with ourselves here. The Trump voter tends to be a little older, a little more sensible, usually speaking.
I don't think it has much to do with the voters. I think it has to do with people who realize what's going on.
Oh, okay.
And they're taking this country over. They're trying to turn us into, you know, the globalist utopia. You talk about it all the time, the 15-minute cities and want to get us out of our cars and all this crap that's going on. You know, we're tearing down the electric grid, but boy, everybody's got to have an electric car and a heat pump. And
yeah, it doesn't quite seem to make sense, does it? Yeah. All right.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll be your prediction then. I'll take this. By the way, back on the COVID thing that you think about what a racket this whole thing was. And of course, I was kind of surprised that in 3 hours of talking on Joe Rogan, they never talked about that, about, you know, Trump and Rogan.
Well, Pfizer is an enemy of the people.
Oh, no doubt about that. You got to remember here, the way I'm looking at this, Randy, from my experience, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not giving medical advice, but I would imagine that about 90 to 95% of the COVID problem in those years could have been solved by A, lots of vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc supplementations, about $10 worth of ivermectin, all right, you know, per person, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, and they basically outlawed it.
Yeah, exactly, and losing weight. You know, those five things probably could have done more to have solved most of it without needing a clot shot for people. Okay?
Most of the people who died from COVID had either diabetes or a blood problem and, you know, underlying conditions. COVID's still around. And it's not a death sentence. That, you know, they built it up to be, oh, people are dropping dead in the street because they have COVID. That was all baloney.
Well, there were serious problems, though. I do know some people. In fact, even my wife, Linda, you know, she got it, you know, near the end.
Okay, so here's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
the cure for long COVID. You're not going to believe this, but it's proven. They've done it. Not studies, but they are doing it, and people are getting over it in 6 days. Nicotine patches, and he explained it, how it works on a cellular level.
Oh, is that artist explaining that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll have to look that up. All right. Hey, I got a lot of other people to talk to this morning, too, but I appreciate you calling nice and early here, Randy. All right? It's on Conspiracy Theory Pre-Election Monday. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hi. Hello?
This is not so crazy.
All right, Gene, you're not so crazy this time. Fire away. What do you think's going to happen? Enough about what I've thought it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody does. What do you think?
Oh, well, that's what keeps it exciting. Nobody does.
Yeah.
And, as far as my thoughts on things, is I think we got a stove with a lot of pots of boiling water on it. And we're a frog. So we keep jumping from pot to pot to pot, trying to find something that's better than it was before.
Yeah, that pot keeps boiling, though. Pretty soon we're not going to be able to jump.
Well, that's just it. I mean, sooner or later, you will not be able to jump anymore. It won't do any good whatsoever.
Thank you, Not So Crazy Gene. Let me go to the next line here this morning on Conspiracy Theory Pre-Election Monday. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Renee.
Hi, Renee. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Good. What's up?
Pessimistic, but...
You know, I'm guardedly optimistic is what I am. I'm not, you know, I'm not in love. You know, I haven't, let me put it this way. I haven't started measuring the White House drapes for Trump's return, you know, but I'd like to. I'd like to, you know, help him out with it if the time came. It could happen. It really could.
It could. However, like, they're going to do the same thing they did before, burning cities, and just, I feel like they're just going to go berserk.
Oh.
That's what I think they're going to do. And no matter if Trump wins or not, it's not going to make much difference because they're going to do what they did before and try to minimize every single thing he tries to do.
I think he's smarter on people and policy this time. I think he realizes, though, where more of those bodies are buried this time. And I have a feeling he's not going to be bringing as many people in as he once did. Well, even look at the Kennedy 5 coalition he has going on right now between, Bobby Kennedy and the Tulsi Gabbards and the Elon Musk type things. He's reaching outside the standard conservative ink. When I say conservative ink, the right wing rackets in Washington, D.C., the ones that give us people like Paul Ryan. You know what I'm getting at, right? Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. Yeah. He's not necessarily choosing from those ranks, okay? But I appreciate it. I understand why you feel that way. I understand. You could be right. Maybe you being pessimistic is the smarter way to be. Hi, good morning, KMED. Who is this? Welcome. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Who's this?
Parker.
Hi, Parker. How are you? What's on your mind?
I'm curious about something.
Sure.
Why is she being allowed to even be a president? She came here from Canada. Her parents came from Canada. And I understand, or at least I thought I did, that you had to be a citizen, a natural-born citizen.
Yeah, natural-born citizen. Seems to be that pesky part of the Constitution, which gets kind of set aside these days because it's racist to bring this up.
Really?
Not really, yeah, but I'm not never. Really. I'm just saying that's kind of how it was treated under Barack Obama.
Well, can't she be null and void?
If there were Republicans willing to stand up and fall on their sword for that, probably. But I don't see many people volunteering to go there. Do you?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
never
so
been mentioned that none of them. No.
Yeah, there are certainly some arguable issues there. And by the way, I said the same thing about Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz, but I've never considered him a natural born citizen either.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want to see Ted Cruz do well as a senator in Texas, though. That's all I was getting at. All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you for that. Let me go to next line. Hi. Good morning. Who's this? Hello.
Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Tom. I know nothing today. What do you know, huh?
I know that I've been lied to all of my life from government, and I think that's the biggest issue facing the country. You know, the polls are supposedly neck and neck. That could be a lie.
Well, I don't really think that I do not think that they are neck and neck. I think that the reason why they have to be neck and neck is so that a steal looks probable. That's my opinion.
Yes, I okay. 100% agree with that. And I'm going to say a worse lie than being neck to neck is if it's true that half the country is duped by their ever lying government to believe all the crap that they're doing to us. I really think a vote for Harris is suicidal. I mean, we're talking World War III and the neocons and everything else. And I don't understand. All my life, I was lied to by our government through all assassinations of the 60s, the Gulf of Tonkin, 9/11, weapons of mass destruction. When COVID arrived, it was just like, probably another government lie. I would assume that it was lie until proven otherwise. And I don't see how people can be this damn naive that they would trust an ever-lying government. It's been proven over and over and over again that our government continuously lies to us.
Well, let me... I've been reading that book, American Memory Hole, from...
Oh, yeah.
You know... Donald Jeffries, right? Isn't that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, Donald Jeffries. Great book. And I thank you so much for having turned me on to that and having talked to him a couple of weeks ago. I think when you really have to look at the heart of how the American people can be so naive and still continue even today to buy, even if it's 80 to 90% of what FedGov is telling them these days, I would have to lay it down to public education, government school.
Well, I do. I agree. You know, if you know me, I think the Fed is the number one destroyer, and public education is number two destroyer of the republic. But it's just, I continue to remain baffled. But, you know, the lies, it's not just the federal government. We have our local government here. We had the Mail Tribune and now the Rogue Valley Times pushing global warming, pushing the COVID hoax.
Pushing the need for climate-friendly, equitable communities, et cetera.
And our government, the local government, you see ads on TV. So people just have not picked up on just the line. It's
Maybe folks I hope that it doesn't have to hurt us really badly before maybe people figure out that most of it's a lie. But we'll see. This much we know at this point. Yep, they're probably lying to us. I appreciate your call as always. All right, let me grab a couple more before news. Like I said, I just came in this morning. I was watching the news over the weekend. I'd be reading the news, and then I realized, what the hell do I know? I'll ask you. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Miner Dave.
What the hell do I know, Dave? What do you say, huh?
What I'm saying is in New York, the federal government went in and seized a squirrel and a raccoon because this guy had rescued him.
By the way, that's Peanut and Fred. They were Instagram stars. They had millions of followers there because they were rescued, and Kathy Hochul's New York ended up coming in there and killing the animals.
Right. So that might mean that Donald Trump will win, because I seen all the memes yesterday of Donald Trump in a squirrel suit saying, "You killed my brother."
I love it. I love it. Yay. You know, but you see, the thing is, though, what they sent 12 agents to those to that guy's house to get to get the raccoon and to get and this is it. They said, well, we were concerned that they might have rabies. That was the claim of the warrant. Right. We're concerned that they might have rabies. Of course, how do they test them for rabies? Now, remember, Peanut had been in this guy's house for, what, 6-7 years, I think? He had been there. It's been quite some time, right?
Right.
But they were concerned about rabies because they were good government employees in the administrative state there. Now, one would ask, if the squirrel's not running around everywhere, how is the squirrel getting rabies? Would be one question that would come through my head, through my dad deal. And the other thing is that, you know how they test for rabies on these animals.
They cut their heads off.
Exactly. They have to look at their brain. That's how they test. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to test you for rabies. I'm hoping that New York doesn't decide that they have to start testing humans that way, too. And I'm sorry. Kathy Hochul says we have to test you for rabies, minor Dave. We're going to have to cut your head open. Okay? All right.
Right.
Yikes. Just bizarreness. Oh, yeah. Peanut and Fred. This is the Peanut and Fred election. Don't be like Peanut and Fred, okay? Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Holly Morton.
Holly, how the heck are you? I don't know crap this morning. What do you know? Tell me what you know today.
Well,
huh?
Nobody knows for sure, but what I suspect is that Trump is going to win. And the big question is, what will be the will of the people to manage what happens after that?
Yes.
Because you know they're going to try to cheat like crazy. And if he wins, I think they're going to try very hard not to seat him as president.
I think that is one of the most important things to watch because, in fact, there's a guy who I read on Substack, what is his name, Colonel Retired. I forget his name. I think I'm going to have him on the show tomorrow. Going to get him back on. But he says it's going to be like Stalingrad every day after the election because everything is going to be about everything. Let's assume that President Trump wins the election fair and square, all right? And it's obvious that it is this way, right? At that point, then they go to Plan B, which is deny him certification from the House of Representatives. That's the goal. That's what they're looking right. to do, okay?
Right.
And they were talking about this quite openly just a few weeks ago about this.
Right, and they passed some sort of a military, I can't think of the words to describe it, where if citizens protest an election, that they can be incarcerated and up to killed, you know. So that was really upsetting to see.
Are you talking about that Defense Department operative? Yeah. I don't think it's protesting an election means that you get killed, though. I don't think that. I think there's a little more to it, but yet the timing of it was certainly strange. I will agree with you there. Okay.
Well. Yeah, if you read the whole thing, I think that's what they're getting at. I mean, why did that come out in September? Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying is if they go out and they're rioting and that kind of thing, or breaking down the fences around the White House, that you know that they may take action.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to ask you since you are here, and I know you keep an eye on that. How's turnout in Joe County now? Have you got the latest, or has there been a new count since Friday?
Well,
or
Friday is all we have.
Oh.
And we were, you know, Friday was really surprising as the NAVs are turning out. I mean, normally only 18% of their base turns out, and they're projected to do like 38% of the NAV base will turn out, which is double the norm. So,
I wonder if the NAV base are the Lily Morgan types. The Lily Morgan, not the real Republicans, the type that want to recall John West. I wonder.
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that the Democrats decided to do was to become Republicans. For what reason? Who knows? Probably to infiltrate the PCP body. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But some of them switched back. But that was a really bizarre phenomenon. About 52 in the
Oh yeah, you had Russia's old Operation Chaos in reverse. You know, Democrats signing up as Republicans to mess with things.
Right.
Sure,
that creates a lot of confusion in the statistics. You can't really tell what's going on mm-hmm. a lot of times.
Yeah, but still, it would appear that voter turnout pretty good in Joe County, not bad in Jackson, not quite as high, but it's not nothing to sneeze at. You know, in Jackson County, but yeah, Joe County pretty good, really good right now.
Early voting very good. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to it. So tonight is going to be fascinating to see what the numbers look like here. And I think the Secretary of State will put some out at about 11 o'clock today.
Okay.
But our clerk will put them out, I think, puts them out at 5 o'clock tonight. We'll have a feeling for it. And then we'll, tomorrow we'll really know. But even over the weekend, we had tons of people in the office filling their ballots. Just tons. The office was packed all weekend.
Yeah, I wish that Jackson County had an open Republican Party office to do stuff like that right now. I know Republican women are kind of filling in the breach right now, but it's a little MIA in Jackson County at the moment.
Well, you know, they'll get it figured out. I think they were hoping that the whole world could jump onto the internet and, you know, just have a website and that would solve all the problems. But it didn't look like that worked out real well. I think you're going to have a physical presence down there.
Yeah.
And I know there
are I know it's so old school, but, you know, politics is an emotional game. People want a clubhouse. Be honest, right? I mean, let's be fair.
Oh, yeah.
People want a place where they can go out and shoot the breeze, have a cup of coffee now and then, and people come into town, a place to go talk, and yeah, hopefully they get that all figured out in the Jackson County world. I know you got it all dialed in Josephine County. We don't worry about that, okay?
Well, we're pretty excited about what's going on down here. We've got such a neat group of people working in the party. It has been very enlightening. People are very well informed down here too, which is important. And that, of course, you know, you have a lot to do with that. But people are much more informed. I think Trump has been sort of a great awakening for citizens.
I think you're right about that. But I don't know. Can you blame me, though, at this point in time, the day before the elections? I feel like Sergeant Schultz from the old, what was that, Hogan's Heroes. I used to watch him as a little kid. And it's like, you know, I can look at all this news and I still feel like I know nothing. I know nothing. It's like, I have an opinion, but I really know nothing. None of us really knows much of anything other than it's going to be a wild time these next few weeks. That's for sure.
Well, 2020 was just such a shock.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a shock. And, you know, people were just not used to being lied to that degree. And then we kept thinking, oh, they're going to fix this. They'll fix this.
They didn't.
Because it was obvious.
No. Yeah.
And then, you know, you go along and along. Oh, well, Pence is going to certify it. Oh, no, Pence isn't going to certify it. And then they pulled the Trump card of January 6th, which was a, you know, false flag set up. And they pulled that. And boy, that just, you know, changed the paradigm immediately. Now we're talking about, you know, our republic being crashed by the terrible right wing citizens. It's it completely changed that paradigm. And everybody started looking at something else. It was, the whole thing was just insane. And now we're looking back at it and saying, you know, we're not going there again. I think the minute that things start happening that are crazy, I think that more immediate action will be taken.
I think you're right, and I hope you're right in this particular case. All right?
We just need to get the citizens to make sure that they have food in the house because the supply chains may be affected.
That is something that would be wise. It's not very often we would say, hey, just make sure you have a few supplies put in place and then you don't have to necessarily go to the store just in case, you know, Antifa decides to get sporty. Okay. You know, that kind
right.
of thing. All right. Good point. Hey, I appreciate the call as always, Holly. We'll talk a little later. Okay. Christopher Ruddy's going to join me here in a few minutes and he's with Newsmax. He's the guy that runs Newsmax. And I guess they're still talking about going public. I want to ask him about that. I want to see what he's thinking about this presidential election because I'm just playing the part of I don't know anything this morning. I just don't. I just can't pretend. I think we're all kind of that way. Maybe we're just beaten down a little bit. It's enough. I don't know.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe. No
point.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
6:46. Christopher Ruddy, he's the man running Newsmax. He's behind all this. Christopher, it's good to have you back on. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's always great being on with you, and exciting stuff. We're in the middle of a powerful current, I think, of voter expression, voter turnout. I mean, 20 was the world record in American history, but I think this time will be equal or almost as equal, which is amazing considering we didn't have the COVID ballots out.
Yeah, you have a good 3/4 of the American electorate, too, also looking for something different than what they've been served up, the dog's breakfast of the last three, four years, you know, that kind of thing. Hey, Christopher, before we get into some of this stuff, I just wanted to touch in on something because I had you on a few months ago, and there was talk that now Newsmax, of course, has been making big, inroads then in the cable and satellite and online news world here at this point. And I remember you last told me there was going to be a public offering at some point. And is that still going to happen? Do we know?
Well, Bill, first of all, let me mention that we're bigger than big. And it's not just me saying as the head of Newsmax, the Nielsen ratings came out. In the 3/4, we had 33 million people watch Newsmax. That was up from 22 million in the 2/4. You've been in media. You don't have these type of 10 million, 45% increases quarter over quarter. It doesn't happen by nature. So I believe millions of people are tuning into Newsmax. We're having a tremendous growth. The Reuters Institute did a study, and they said we're one of the top 12 media in the whole United States now with all the major media, NBC, CBS. That is amazing. And it's not me. It's not you. You know, it's the viewers and the listeners are tuning into Newsmax. They say we like it. We're tired of the old media. We decided to go public. We announced that earlier this year, as you know. And so far, we're seeking SEC approval. We're planning to be on the New York Stock Exchange. We're hoping to go IPO late this year or early next year. That looks like it's on target. But we're encouraging people, if you're interested in buying shares and becoming a co-owner of Newsmax, you may be even eligible to buy shares now. You can go to our website. It's a very simple website. It's newsmaxinvest.com. That's all one word, newsmaxinvest.com. And check us out and sign up if you're interested in participating. It's very exciting. We've had
And by the way, if you don't mind, though, I just want to get a disclaimer out there. We're not endorsing this or things like that. That's you, because I was just asking you about it as a news aspect of this. Okay, because I'm not a financial guy and I don't pretend to be. Okay, but still,
and everybody should review it with their financial advisor. Yeah. And we have that on the website.
Very good. All right, so that's up on the website right now. But I wanted to talk with you, though, about what are you going to have on the coverage for tomorrow night? Because I imagine it's going to be more than 24 hours. I'm not convinced that we're really going to, you know, I would hopefully we know which direction it's going. But I've decided, in fact, I started the show this morning, Christopher, and saying I know nothing. I've just decided after all this coverage and all these months, I know nothing. And so maybe you have a better bead on it than me. Okay.
Well, I've been around long enough to know we don't really know the results until it's over. You remember Mitt Romney in 2012. We all thought he was elected.
Oh, yeah.
And Obama beat him the last couple of days. And it turned out he won pretty handily. So after that, I'm very cautious about these things. We all thought Trump was going to lose in 16. He won big. I mean, he won significantly in the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to have people on. We're going to be at every polling place. We have Greta Van Susteren and Carl Higbee starting at 5 p.m. Eastern time, which would be 2 p.m. Pacific tomorrow. We're going to have Round the Clock. Ed Henry is coming on at 7 p.m. our time, mm-hmm. 4 p.m. Pacific. And we're just going to have every coverage. We're going to have people in the Trump campaign with Trump reporting on what's going on. We even set up a cell text messaging system where, you know, as a media organization, we often get results first, polling data first. We're going to send that immediately to our listeners and viewers.
How do you sign up for that?
It's real simple. They send the word remind, to 39747. That's an easy number to remember. It's 39 and then like the plane, 747.
Okay.
39747, remind. If you sign up now, you'll get an immediate text saying you're a member of the list, and you'll get all the breaking news.
I like that because sometimes I can't watch everything at all times, and because I'm in the middle of even doing my own stuff, you know, here on the radio station. So I'm going to sign up for that just so I'm in the loop, even though I'll be watching it too. Okay, so it works out pretty well. What do you think? How do you feel? I mean, I'm guardedly optimistic about Trump's chances on this one, but. I can't say I was quite as optimistic in 2020 because it was sort of the COVID chaos election. This feels different, doesn't it?
Well, I think people are really upset that they had 25% inflation, which has really killed the economy and killed people's wealth. There are people that can't afford food. They have to put the food on their credit cards if they have a credit card. It's that bad. So that's really bad. Joe Biden has had, you know, pre-dementia issues. He's been president. The media ignores it. Kamala Harris refuses to answer questions. And she wants to be president of the United States. So, and they're seeing the media bias. So I think there is a real upset with people. And you're seeing Trump making tremendous inroads in groups that he didn't, blacks and Hispanics. And I think that we are on the verge of some sea change in America. But it's still pretty early to tell. And we have a battle ahead. You know, the media is so biased. And that's, I think, really underscores the importance of what Bill Meyer does there at KMED and what Newsmax is doing.
What do you think will happen over the coming years? Is there anything that's going to change the left-wing bias of the majority of what would be considered mainstream? Or is it so much in the mother's milk, let's say, of the journalism schools? You know, the left owns the institutions at this point, that nothing's going to change for a while. How do you see it?
Well, we all have to step up. That's one of the reasons we're going public, getting the public to join with us. George Soros just bought got control of over 200 radio stations.
Yep.
Now, you may not like George Soros. He's a left-wing this and that. But it's a free country. He has a right to do these, buy these stations. The left is buying them up. The right should be buying them up. The conservatives should be out there doing their thing. And they're just not.
I wonder if conservatives automatically think that they just kind of own that, you know, own the talk radio world. I wonder if that's what they think.
Yeah. Well, they are the force on talk radio. The problem is if like there's a great talk radio station and some liberal buys it and change the host out and it becomes liberal, conservatives don't have anything to listen to unless there's another station.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
And so that's why it's important, you know, there's a lot of billionaires that are conservative. They're not doing enough. They've got to stick their necks out.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, normally you think of Soros. Soros is a billionaire. He wants to make money. Well, this could be one of those things where for a relatively small amount of money in his world, he's able to remove hosts and remove station formats and make that go away. In some ways, that could be you know, cheaper than actually buying ads and attacking and doing the normal political activism. What do you think about that?
Well, it's called earned media, and it's more powerful than ads, for sure. I mean, Saturday Night Live just gave a free gift to Kamala Harris to have her on the other night, and even the FCC criticized her. NBC had to offer equal time. We have the story on Newsmax.com right now, and they had to back down. But it was just such an egregious, outrageous promotion for her presidential candidacy by a network. You know, they're supposed to be somewhat fair. They're broadcast licenses.
Although they did actually have some funny stuff in that, but they only invited her. That's the issue. A lot of people don't understand that equal time deal. And by the way, equal time laws, folks, only apply to federal elections. Isn't it interesting how the feds made sure that they, you know, their candidacies were taken care of? What do you say there, Christopher?
Well, you know, I remember the old days when comedians would come on, Johnny Carson. He would criticize the Republicans, but he'd also criticize the Democrats, Bob Hope, and then David Letterman.
It was equal opportunity.
Now the comedians have gone all far left. It's just 24/7 criticism of Republicans. They never criticized Joe Biden. So I don't know. It's a bizarre situation we're facing. I think it's really important what you're doing, what we're doing at Newsmax. And we're, you know, very excited about the poll results. We just saw the Emerson poll. Swing states just came out. We're posting them to Newsmax right now and then putting them on air. But they're detailing that Trump is actually leading in almost every major state.
And I hope that he overperforms that. That's the real issue. Well, I think he's going to have to overperform it. You know, if there was ever a year that he could possibly win the popular vote, this might be it, given how Kamala has not been driving a lot of enthusiasm. In fact, this may not hold, but even in the state of Oregon, I don't know if you're familiar with this, Christopher, but Multnomah and Clackamas County are very slow to vote, and this is everything that Democrats never do. Democrats have always been the first out of the gate to vote. Republicans have been way out in front of them, and they're behind. I noticed that there was another network that termed Oregon maybe only leaning blue at this point rather than solid blue, as in the past. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, if somebody really works states like Oregon and Washington, those states could become red again. They just have to work it. You know, the Democrats have worked states. I remember Colorado used to be a red state. Now it's a blue state. Arizona used to be a red state. Now it's becoming blue. Georgia was a red state. Now it's becoming blue. They work it. They invest in it. They build. They're trying to do this with Texas to turn it liberal. We got to step up and fight back. Trump says fight.
Christopher Roddy, Newsmax, Newsmax.com. By the way, if you wanted to sign up for the breaking election news, you can just do this even right now. Text REMIND to 39747, and then you get on that list. And I'll be watching you tomorrow night there, too, along with all the coverage we're going to be doing here, too. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Christopher.
Bill,
best of luck.
Great. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yep, crossing our fingers on this one. 658. This is KMED.
Do you have an electrical checklist for the holiday?
Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
We'll probably have a little more time for open phones, especially later in the program. I'll try to squeeze some in between guests. A little guest heavy this Monday. Cody Wilson's going to join me here in a few minutes. And he's the founder of Defense Distributed. And the reason I wanted to talk with him is that Measure 114. Last week we talked about Measure 114 having the hearing in the appeals court. This is something which has been a real bee in my bonnet, as my grandma used to say. Got a bee in your bonnet. It would effectively ban the sale of most firearms in the state of Oregon. Shut down the stores. And yet, you know, I'm having great difficulty getting attorney general's candidates for the Republican side. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Will Lathrop. You know, just say, what part of this isn't unconstitutional? You're an attorney. You should be able to read this and just give me a straight answer. But I'll set that aside right now. Is the future of America, or would it behoove us to learn how to print a firearm if need be? Well, that's what Cody is all about. And he's the one that is the founder of Defense Distributed, proprietor of GhostGunner.net. And he wrote the book a number of years ago, Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Thinking Free. And I appreciate people who are thinking free and prepared in case, you have state of Oregon kind of stuff going on. We'll talk with him about that coming up.